District 6, by analogy, we thought all the waste, the electrical, historical costs had been sorted out, but now there's another issue that you're bringing to us.
So, AP15, good morning all. The committee received a request to clarify whether RIFRIC 6 should be applied by analogy to some levies charged for participation in the market on a specified date in order to identify the event that gives rise to liability. The submission identifies levies that have recently been introduced in certain jurisdictions. The submission asserts that those levies have a common feature in that they are payable only if the entity participates in its market on a specified date. The question raised in the submission is of the date of recognition of the liability. Related to this is also the question of recognition of the liability in an entity's interim financial reporting. An analysis of RIFRIC 6 and its outcome with respect to the specifics of the European Union's directive on waste electrical and electronic equipment are presented in paragraphs 12 to 23 of the paper. Two specific examples are analysed with respect to those specifics in RIFRIC 6. The UK bulk levy, paragraphs 26 to 33, and the railway tax in paragraphs 34 to 42. We note that the arguments against recognising a liability for some levies rely to some extent on requiring the entity to make an assumption that it will cease a particular business activity and as a result avoid the liability. This assumption raises the two following concerns. It is inconsistent with management expectations, whether or not public statements have been made about their expectations, and it is inconsistent with the going concern assumption used for recognizing and measuring other elements of the financial statements, such as the measurement of impairment of assets or the non-recognition of closure costs. The argument that such an assumption should be made is in part driven by the views expressed in paragraph BC10 of IBRIC 6. If the committee decides to take this issue onto its agenda, we recommend that the circumstances in which making such an assumption is appropriate are considered by the committee. We note that the issue raises the two following key challenges: determining whether the obligating event is the participation in an activity on the date specified by the legislation, or whether other factors create an earlier obligation, and when the obligating event arises in the current annual period, determining the circumstances when an appropriate portion of the charge can be accrued at the interim reporting date. We think that, given the mixed views on the appropriate accounting treatment, the committee should consider whether further guidance could be given to address this diversity, and consequently we recommend that the committee take the issue onto its agenda. Do you agree with the staff's recommendation?
Andrew?
I'm not sure. I'd like to see how the debate goes, but it is a difficult issue. I just wanted to make one point by way of, I think, clarification, certainly in terms of the UK context. I don't think it's necessary in all these cases to go out of business to be a non-going, i.e. To stop being a going concern, to get out of some of these levies. I mean, I think it in order to avoid them, it requires a very fundamental reorganisation of the business, which theoretically might be possible, but in all practical consequences isn't. But I don't think it actually requires you in all circumstances just to stop and go out of business. So I don't know whether that's a distinction that is relevant to the debate.
I think it has to be relevant to the debate in the sense that the obligating event is what we're focusing on here, and the timing of that obligating event, and depending on what that nature is, and when it actually takes place, then that's going to assist whoever's making the judgments to come to the conclusion that there is a present obligation resulting from a past event. But perhaps I need to make it also clear as well. We're going to discuss a couple of specific examples that have been submitted to us, not because I believe we should be interpreting in those specific circumstances what the answer is. Jurisdictions around the world have all got laws that are very different in many different ways. I think we've been asked really to focus on the principles that have been established in IFRIC 6 and whether or not those principles can be applied and whether they need any amplification. So I think we will discuss specifically your issue and some other issues, but the intention is not to give a definitive ruling on those.
No, I just wanted to make sure we didn't start the debate on shifting sands, because realistically it's impossible to avoid these things, but you don't have to stop business theoretically to avoid them.
We can add that in as another fact in the patents. Thanks. Ruth?
I agree with the staff's recommendation to take it onto the agenda. It is a very topical issue. It's particularly important for interim reporting. And one of the things I thought that if we do take it on, the staff could look at is para 30C of IAS 34, which talks about income tax, and that an estimate being made in the interim financial report, because you could argue that income tax, the liability for income tax only arises at the year end as well. You could argue that. But yet IAS 34 says despite that, you make a provision in your half year based on an estimate. So there could be an analogy to that.
If you're suggesting, and I don't want to debate whether income tax only arises at the end of the year, before the beginning of the year or any other time, but if you're suggesting that it's given specifically by way of an exception, then an analogy wouldn't be appropriate to that. And clearly, it's not an income tax, which is why we're not looking at IAS 12.
But
I take the point as that there are other paragraphs in 34 that we may look at to guide us. So, I mean, there are two questions. One, when is the liability? And if the liability is within the current year, what do you do at the interim stage?
And I raise that because in practical terms, that is the practical issue that companies are facing this year, is what do they do in their interim reports? As well as what is the obligating event. The other thing I wanted to, and I'm not sure if the staff are aware of this, there was this was provided to me by my US people, a FASB accounting standards update on fees paid to the federal government by pharmaceutical manufacturers. I can give you a copy of that, which addresses a similar issue and concludes that the fees should be accrued over the period.
Thanks. Jean-Louis?
Yes, I think I follow the suggestion of the staff, and I think it's a very important issue. It might be difficult to stick to principles because there are very different situations. I would say that the French standard setter has conducted a review, a very thorough review, not for the application of IFRS, but for French standards on this subject in conjunction with the Compagnie des Commissaires aux Comptes. So all this type of taxes have been considered and reviewed. They have identified about 10 different situations and trying to find a way which would be principle-based, and it could be useful to make a contact with the ANC on this. And a second suggestion that would be considered as unusual, maybe because I am also a member of the public sector standard setting board in France, could be to ask ourselves in what is the event which creates the revenue at the governmental level in public accounts, because there is clearly an interaction. If there is no public authority, there is no such tax or type of a situation, and So we might think what is done the other side.
Okay, a little bit like your recollection of what we did in the early days of IFRIC 12. Guido?
Well, I agree that it's a problem in practice. Where I'm hesitating a little bit, and maybe I would like to ask the staff to do some more work on these issues, because when I read these examples, I think they are different from each other. The French railway turnover levy is different from the UK banking levy, as I understand it. If we take this on the, and that's the problem that I see, it might be that it's too broad for us to deal with it, because I think it's not only IFRIC 6 that we are dealing with. IFRIC 6 is an interpretation of IS 37, and the problem, I think, lies within 37, which on one hand says you may have a constructive obligation, which, from my point of view, encompasses examples where you could get out of this obligation, you could avoid making the payment. It's just a constructive obligation, whereas there are other things in 37 that seem to say, and there is especially one example, it's a very well-known smoke filter example in 37 that seems to say, well, if you can get out of this obligation, even if you have to shut down your plant, then you don't have an obligation. So I think the contradiction is in 37 itself, and I would like us to solve this problem, but I think that it might be a little bit too big of a chunk for us to swallow.
So what message are you giving me there?
I would like to, I mean, I don't know what we really will be looking at. You said, Bob, yeah, well, we need to think about what the obligating event is, but the examples that we have here seem to be very diverse examples. So I don't know whether we will be really in a position to deal with this issue. So I would like the staff to go on and tell us exactly what the issue is that we should look at.
Okay, so staff to do some more work.
Right.
But you're just afraid that it might come back and it's too big. But yes. You're not saying that we shouldn't. Okay. Fedon?
Yeah. I agree with that it's a real issue in practice. But it looks like too hurry to make decision put in. This agenda, I would suggest the staff to make more analysis on IS 37 to see if that is clear or not, or require interpretation or not. At the same time, I agree with that the Guido that the two examples are a big difference. So. I would suggest to move on.
Okay. Laurence?
I agree that the issue is widespread across jurisdictions, pervasive. In France, the example that has been detailed is the railway tax. I believe this one will affect only a few number of companies. The one that is really the issue is the other one that is described, presented in the submission, which is the number two, which is organic, which is the tax on the turnover levy. And we also have a French bank levy, and we have similar features, tax you pay for buildings or properties that are due on first, well, triggering event is 1st January. And I agree with the staff that the two issues are debt for recognizing a liability. When is it? Particularly when you have a measurement basis that is of a different, that is not in the current period. And in the turnover levy in France, the measurement period is the year before. And so the practice has been to provide for the year before, at the end of the year before, what you are required to pay or what pays the obligation on 1st of January. And so it's not just, you know, a question of whether you spread during the year for preparing your interim financial statements. It is a question of when do you recognize the liability. Do you recognize fully on 1st of January, or do you provide for it on 31st December the year before, or if it is in the UK case, only at the end of a year. Like Guido, I do believe that the problem lies in IS 87, understanding what the constructive obligation is. We have to be cautious about how constructive obligations have been applied in practice so far. Can think of restructuring. I can think of many types of liabilities, not just the tax ones. And I think that the issue is going to be a tough one. Jean-Louis mentioned that the ANC has already spent quite a lot of months trying to sort out the issue without a solution, noting that in France, provisions is the same text as IS 87. But I do believe that we should give a shot and try to solve, because there is inconsistency and it is a real issue in many parts of the world.
Jana?
Well, I'm going to start by saying I'm not sure. I think I actually disagree with the staff's recommendation, and the reasons being that, and it's interesting that everyone says this is an issue. I agree that it is hard and that judgment is required. But is it actually an issue? It's you know, all 37, essentially, and as actually put in paragraph 46, there is absolutely no doubt that IS 37 requires judgment. So to me, these are examples of where the judgment in IS 37 is required, and it is a very hard judgment. I think that we need to think carefully because, and I'm going to, Alan will make, can shoot me or other board members, but I would say that the board is currently stuck on 37 because it is really, really hard because of those judgment issues. So can we, as the Interpretations Committee, get to a solution on those really hard issues as to when you have a liability or when you don't, any better or any sooner or whatever than the board? I.e., why do we think we can solve the problem when the board has spent months on it and has not yet solved the problem? I would also say, arguably, and the ASB, the summary of the ASB discussion effectively says this, that in some ways the issue of what has caused part of the hardness of this is in fact IFRIC 6 itself, in that, and I've written beside that, just shows the problems with writing rules, because we did consider, or before my time, but IFRIC considered, a very specific example, and I'm not disagreeing that the judgments that the committee made in that was wrong in any way, shape or form, but people have now picked up that and said, well, we've got to apply those things, but that is a very specific example. And what worries me about considering any of these examples is that, again, that we would just, and try to do an interpretation, is that we would just exacerbate that problem by picking on a particular, like we would be making a judgment on a particular example, and I share the concerns that I'm not sure, and it comes back to, that we can do it on a principles basis. So that is why, I mean, my gut, it would be nice to be able to think we could do something. I honestly, for those reasons, think I disagree that we should attempt to try to do anything.
Philippe, would you like to defend?
No, just a quick comment on what John has said. I think the board is stuck on IS 37, not in respect of recognition criteria. It's with respect to measurement of the liability, whether or not the method should be a mean, a mode, or whatever, or whether or not there should be a risk margin, or whether or not there should be a profit margin in the amount to be recognized. The board is also a little bit in difficulty with uncertain liabilities, the more likely than not criteria or whatever. Not about those liabilities which are certain in nature. The question here is timing of recognition. Now, if you tell me that the purest application of the recognition criteria in IS 37 on the obligatory event can lead to stupid or absurd results, I would agree. If this committee in the end concludes that the application of IS 37 TSU don't have a liability on the 31 of December, when you know 1 second after that you are still in business on the liability and that we should change IS 47, I would have a lot of sympathy for that. But I think there is no uncertainty on how to deal with certain liabilities, the amount of which and the certainty of which are absolutely clear.
Thank you, Scott.
Well, I was going to mention the taxes in the U.S. and the related EITF issues. So the Ruth mentioned one EITF issue dealing with a fee paid by pharmaceutical manufacturers. There's another issue on the EITF's agenda related to a fee that certain other healthcare providers are going to have to pay in 2012, I think. And so there's a number of these kinds of similar taxes that have come into play in the U.S., and it was felt that guidance was needed there. I think we can do something here. I mean, in part, if we are able to just debate and answer the question of the only way to avoid the fee is by shutting down your business, do you have a constructive obligation? Philippe says it might be silly if that was the answer. The UK ASB said it might be ridiculous if that was the answer. I think that's probably about the same. Nonetheless, I think it's something we could discuss. And the discussion in the U.S., I think, raised a third question. We've mentioned what's the obligating event and do you accrue over the year. The U.S. discussions actually came up with issue number three, which is you have paid your tax. Should you defer any of that? Because the only asset you have is the right to not pay the tax again for the rest of the year, which I'm not sure that meets the definition of an asset. Yet the EITF actually, did conclude that you would defer it and amortize it over the rest of the year. So that might be question number three for us to consider if we do take this on the agenda. So I'd support taking it on.
Thanks. And Andrew, final comment?
I'm fine with the staff doing more work, having listened to the other comments, although I think it's a really difficult issue. I agree with Guido that the basic problem is internal conflicts within 37, and I think we may end up revisiting the IFRIC 6 effectively, whereby we ruled out the no realistic alternative approach to creating a constructive obligation. When we're looking at the various paragraphs in IS 34, I think the staff should focus on the difference, and I'm sure they will, the difference between recognition issues and measurement issues, because I think the tax issue, the volume rebate issue, there's strong arguments to say they're just measurement issues. You know, if I'm a purchaser of goods and I get a volume rebate and after a threshold, and I haven't reached that threshold halfway through the year, then I've bought the inventory, so I've got some inventory and I'm just trying to measure the cost, so it's best estimate of cost. So I think you need to be careful in distinguishing between measurement and recognition in 34, and obviously if we take it on, fine. I'm not quite sure where that leaves everybody for this year's interims, but I don't think we're ever going to solve that problem in this meeting.
Well, we're not here to solve everybody's problem, but we're here to try and establish the principles and make them work. First thing, I suppose, is we had an issue that came up a while back to do with chemical registrations and whether or not that was something similar to the waste electrical, and shouldn't we do that? And we said no, because it's specific legislation. So now here's more specific legislation, and now we're reacting to it. So perhaps initially I had the same reaction as Joanna, that, yeah, it's hard to decide on these things, but where is the divergence in practice existing at the moment? Now, I do understand in some cases that where it's proposed legislation that's coming out, that people have some concern, because proposed legislation isn't actually real. And if you look at IS 12, even though I told Ruth she couldn't, then you can't take into account legislation until it's at a stage where it's substantively enacted. That is, you actually know what the law is going to provide for that. So the fact that a tax is going to come in, it's the announced intention of the government. Governments do change sometimes, perhaps not as often as some would like, but you've got to wait until the law is there. Those that have mentioned the constructive obligation also puzzle me a little bit, because as I read IS 37 paragraph 10, which gives the definition of a constructive obligation, it seems to relate more to the activity or the behavior of the entity. And what we're dealing with here are actual laws, so there is no doubt, or should be no doubt, in the jurisdiction that understands its law, what the law requires, what the date is on which it determines whether it is payable, if there is a period over which it's payable, and for things, perhaps as Scott was mentioning, if there's a payment up front, whether there's an entitlement to proportionate reduction, if the entity ceases business partway through the year, whatever those terms are. So I wouldn't have thought there was any lack of clarity about the nature of the liability itself. So I think your concern is perhaps similar to the one that Philippe threatened us with, that if we come up with a literal but stupid interpretation that you don't have a liability today but you have a liability tomorrow, that doesn't make any sense. I think we need to focus on the aspects of recognition and measurement separately. That is, if a liability doesn't exist, which is what IFRIC 6 was saying, until the year in which you are in the market, but it's based on events that have taken place in a previous period. In the case of IFRIC 6, the key distinguishing feature in there was selling the goods and the fact that you expected to be in business when those goods were being recycled didn't give you an obligation to bear the cost of the recycling. That was something that was only occasioned because you were in the market in the year in which the recycling took place, and it was based on your market share, not on your previous sales. Here we seem to be, I wouldn't say confusing, but guided perhaps more by the old matching concept of, if you've got a liability which is based on last year's sales, then surely you should have provided for it last year. But if it's only something that relates to the current period, then perhaps the way in which it's measured isn't relevant. In the same way, I think, Laurence, you were saying some property taxes are based on an historic valuation. That doesn't mean if the valuation is going to be valid for 10 years, you've got to provide for 10 years' liability at that stage and consider if you've got an asset. So there are a number of questions, I think, that you've raised. Personally, I'm not convinced that these are all matters that we need to interpret. I'm not sure about the divergence that exists at the moment, although I suspect when we look at it very closely, we'll find that many people have said 1st of January is the obligating date, or the date that's in the legislation, but because it's based on the previous year's sales, then we'll book a liability at the end of the previous year. So there's probably no diversity in the way people account for the individual pieces of legislation, but if we look across them all, I'm willing to accept that there probably is a difference of opinion in what the liability is and when it should be recognized. As far as the IS 34 issues are concerned, it always has been a troublesome approach, because it doesn't, as it seems to allude to in its principles, stick strictly to a discrete period recognition of assets and liabilities. It does smooth that over in a few places. So even though I wouldn't like to analogize to exceptions, I think IS 34 has got sufficient number of broken principles that it might help if we were to fix and clarify in there. So what I would suggest, if you're in agreement, is that we ask the staff, and sadly or happily, it probably will not be Fabienne who will take this further forward, but that we ask the staff to do some more work to identify the issues, some of which Scott and others have mentioned we should look at. That is, what are the characteristics in 37, that is, not to go back into IFRS 6 and work from there, but in 37, what are the characteristics of the liability for recognition, first of all? to determine whether or not there is a liability in a period, and specifically to consider the circumstances where the liability is, as we put it, I'm in business on the first day of the year, but what happens at the end of the previous year? Is that a liability to be recognized in the previous year's financial statements? And to try and clarify from 37 how it would deal with that. So the fact that you know that you're going to be in business, you know there's a liability, what are the characteristics of that liability that would either require it to be brought back into the previous year, or in fact would preclude it from being brought back into the previous year? Then, having established whether there is a liability in the current annual period, to then look at the question of how do we present the information in any interim financial statements? Is it a proportionate expectation of the full year's amount, or is it only the amount based on whether the criteria have been met at the interim date? So that's a sort of a discrete versus continuous approach into there. Touches a little bit on measurement, but as Philippe mentioned, we don't really want to change what the measurement assumptions are, but in this particular case, I think there's less doubt about the nature of the amount. There may be some uncertainty as to what ultimately the annual revenue is, but I think we can make estimates based on revenue to date. Scott raised an interesting point, and it is actually also relevant to interim financial statements as well, that if we take the French railway tax, if it's payable on the first of the year, does that mean it's expensed on the first day of the year? If it's not expensed on the last day of the previous year, that is. And what we do in interim financial statements there, in circumstances in which there is no right to a refund. So that is, do we say it's an annual payment, it's made at the beginning of the year, and the benefit is that you're in business for the full year? Can you consider that there's an asset there or not? And those that like matching and smoothing would say, yes, let's spread it out over the whole year. Those that just like assets and liabilities in the truest sense would say no. So I think that's another issue that that we should tackle. So even though I'm somewhat reluctant to help people make up their minds better than they appear to be doing at the moment on this particular issue, I think there is a fairly significant amount of work that the staff can do to bring a paper back to us next time. Is there anything you would like to add or delete from that?
The one thing I thought maybe the staff could consider in addition to all of this is, what if the period over which the tax is payable is not the same as the company's fiscal year? So company is a June 30 fiscal year end, but the tax covers a calendar year. Now we don't just have interim statements in the middle of the tax year, but we actually have a fiscal year end.
Yeah. And, in fact, that would help to guide us on what we would do at an interim as well. That seems a...
One would hope.
Yeah. Good. Laurence?
I had exactly the same point. Also, for the staff work, I would recommend to the staff to do an outreach of national standard setters to understand practices, because I'm sure they have been faced with this issue.
I think we need to describe what the issue is before we can
absolutely,
do the outreach. But
absolutely.
Yes, I think we all do that. And I would guess, the way that Jean-Louis and you are looking at me, that there's one standard setter just across
the channel.
Has done a lot of work already. Thank you. No, Guido?
Just on the constructive obligation, I totally agree with you. This is not a constructive obligation. The thing that I was addressing is, some people say 37 tells you you only recognize a liability when you, with whatever means, if you cannot avoid making the payment. So if I could go out of business on 31st of December and I have to pay it on 1st of January, there's no obligating event, I can avoid making the payment. On the other hand, you have this constructive obligation, which is not the case here, which seems to say, well, no, it's not about whether you can't avoid making the payment. Sometimes you may be able to avoid making the payment, but nevertheless you have to recognize a liability. That was the problem that I see in 37.
So we would add into the staff's analysis some consideration then of activities, and whether a pure calendar date is the determining factor. Presumably, and even in the case, Andrew, of your bank tax, if that's determined, is it on the 31st of December, or is it determined on the end of the financial reporting period? Oh, okay, so it is the same there. But if there was a different date, you could have a company with a September year end, and it knows it's going to be paying something sometime, but which period does it fall into? All right. I'm directed to Fabienne because I'm not sure who's going to be doing the work yet. Nobody at this table. I guess we need to also include in this review, when you determine the scope, whether it has an impact on IFRIC 6 and whether IFRIC 6 needs to be withdrawn, replaced, or modified based on any of these conclusions here, which we may do in two ways. One is just withdraw it and encompass the guidance in IFRIC 6 in a new interpretation so we don't have repetition. Or if we find that there is something that needs to be changed for whatever reason, then this is the opportunity to do that. So that's not the primary reason why we'd look at IFRIC 6, but at least to make sure it's consistent as part of IS 37. Right. So that's a long explanation, I think, of the extra work that the staff is being asked to do. Does anybody object to asking the staff to do that extra work? And then we'll hope that we'll see that back in July and with a recommendation then on what action we should be taking. And I think just to flag up to the national standards setters who are listening in here to be aware of this issue. And I believe, in fact, that these papers were discussed at the previous national standards setter group meeting.
That's right. They were.
So did anybody at that stage make any comments, or they were just made aware of the issue?
There were a couple of comments that were made. And the fact that with IFRIC 6, the fact that it's to do with the historical costs that have been incurred, or the products that have been produced historically, and that sort of distance of relationship was identified as a factor to consider.
Okay. So we'd be calling on them to provide us with some input, help make sure we can stick to the principles and be more broadly applicable. Okay. Fabienne, do you have anything else that you're going to be bringing to the committee at this meeting?
That's the last issue.
That's the last issue. And so that's the last time, unfortunately, that we'll see you here, is it?
No, not that I know of.
You'll be here in July?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure when I got a hint that you might not be taking this on any further. That
just wondering. Okay.
Not trying to get rid of you.
Well.
Okay, thanks very much, Fabienne. That takes us then to the next agenda item. It's an IS 28 issue, which...